I'ma get on this TV, mama. I'ma push it down. Welcome. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. All right. Look. On se déniaise, Chris. Welcome. Bienvenue. Another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanor.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. All right, today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, July 6th. 2025, and it's blazing. Let me just check the weather in the area. God damn, 33 feels like 31 Celsius. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast wasn't meant for you. All right, gang. All right, so on commence en disant shout out to all you listeners. And before we continue with what we got planned today, I'm going to ask you to applaud yourselves now. And if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Here's hoping I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Excuse me as I move the microphone just a bit. Okay. All right. Yes. Check. Okay. I want to remind you before we continue that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. And in today's episode, titled 280, to be determined, it's to be determined. I'm debating between this wicked system or, but today's feature thought is going to revolve around my experiences growing up in white space. I've been obsessing over a thought, and I figured, let me just share it on this podcast. But before we do that, we are going to start with some quotes and some randomness. Bo, I'm trying to improve my delivery, my speaking. I don't know. It's like my public speaking skill sets seem to abandon me when I'm on this podcast. But, well, that's the excuse that I'm using today. But I think what's just going on is I just haven't trained my mind to, like, treat this microphone the same way I would treat a microphone if I was on a podium or in front of an audience. That's exactly what my problem is. With that said, let's start with our first quote. First one goes, "You cannot heal in the same environment where you got sick." I feel the need to repeat that. You cannot heal in the same environment where you got sick. Next one goes, just be yourself. You will always be too much for some. Too loud, too soft, too this, too that. But you will always be perfect for the people who really love you. I would go as far as to say for the people who matter, but I guess those who love you, I guess, yeah, those that matter. Last quote goes, life is not easy. When you have an overthinking mind and a sensitive heart. I'm going to add, when I related to Tupac's track, "It Ain't Easy." It ain't easy being me. Will I see the penitentiary or will I stay free? Except I flipped it to, "It ain't easy being me." Will I lose my sanity or will I? I forgot what the last one. Or will I go crazy? But I was it. But when I said that, when I remixed that verse, I was in the same intention of life is not easy when you have an overthinking mind like mine and a sensitive heart. Amen, brother. All right, this concludes our quotes. Let's jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
First one is, and I don't have the clip for it, but one of my greatest hobbies, or I actually get a degree, is scrolling on social media, which I'm starting to realize is kind of unhealthy, but that's not the point of the case. I came across this video of a couple, and they had their child behind, probably, according to the caption, the child was like 6 years old. And the child asks the dad, says, I guess he must have noticed the pride flag. He goes, hey, what's that rainbow flag? And the dad was explaining how, well, it's a flag for the, I can't remember what. I think he just kept it simple and said, yeah, it's the flag for gay people or something like that. It's to represent gay people, yada, yada. And then the child asks, what's gay? And, I forget what the dad said to the child. I mean, he did his darnest. It was a good explanation. Again, I don't have the clip. You could hear for yourself. But I remember picturing myself being in that situation and trying to explain gay to a child, and it was a part of me that was embarrassed, in a sense that I live in a world where that distinction needs to be made. Because, I guess I would have been lost for words to explain it. But it's, I guess this is growth on my part. Because, yeah, before it's, yeah, no, I need a word to separate me from them. But now when the more I, as through growth, and you understand, I guess I'm picturing a future where telling someone gay is as irrelevant as telling someone that, like, I guess someone's, I think it's more the whole how we've made sexual orientation, which is a spectrum, and identity. That I think that's the part, the fact that they, that the embarrassment is the society that we live in, the society where, yeah, your sexuality is part of your identity. Granted, we do the same thing with race, we do the same thing with gender, but I'm just, in that moment, I just thought it was, damn. It's like, I felt like I was, damn, kid. Let me tell you about the world that you live in. In this world, we make a distinction between human beings who have sex with the opposite sex and human beings who have sex with the same sex. Who love the opposite sex and who love the same sex. I think it's just more a reflection on my own growth. I'm not usually the type to tap himself on the back. That's not true. I'm realizing I'm saying something good about myself and it's making me uncomfortable. But yeah, growth. I know, in that moment I just felt embarrassed. One last point I feel the need to make is I'm rewatching season 6, part 1 of The Sopranos. Just, you know, what the fuck? Because I love TV. And realize I haven't watched it in a while. But that's the season when one particular character outs himself, comes out the closet. He's a mobster and he comes out the closet. And I remember the first time that concept of the show came out, it wasn't well received. But I appreciate it because I knew the show, The Sopranos, was a show. I remember the creator said it's a show about people who lie to themselves. sure, the mob is like the facade, but it, at the core, it's people who lie to themselves. So I didn't think it was weird that in season six, they say, hey, let's add a closeted gay person into the script. And the only reason I bring this up is because I am, again, rewatching it. And I watched the episode where the rest of the crew finds out that this character, one of their associates, is gay. And the way they handled it, and I've noticed that I've been watching it through two different eyes. I believe this episode was released back in 2006. Hold on. The Sopranos. Let me just remember. Sopranos. Episode. God damn, it's hot here. It's warm in here. I mentioned the temperature, right? All right. The season six was aired back in 2006. Oh, god damn. God damn. 19 years ago. Holy shit, gang. Okay, my point is, I'm noticing that I'm looking at it through two different eyes. And today's eyes is more realizing the way this crew handles learning about their gay associate felt really dysfunctional. I mean, the creators, the writers, like, I think they did a good job. And at the time, I didn't see it. Like, they acted like the gay dude was the dysfunctional guy. But now, 2015 eyes are looking at this, and I'm like, damn. Now, they're dysfunctional. Because there's part about, like, who gives a fuck? There's a part where they go out of the way and say, yo, this dude's a top earner. If we lose this guy, we lose money. And some of these motherfuckers couldn't let go of it. But I don't get it. Again, I'm just two different eyes. Let's, next item.
So you're a philosopher?
Boom. Okay, this one here is, I'm just going to play it because I can't remember why I'm sharing. No, I remember why I'm sharing it, but it's, sorry. wrong. I'm talking about the wrong item. Okay. Someone I was recently made aware that 35 years ago, speaking of growth, yeah, another incident about growth, 35 years ago, Heavy D released the track Somebody For Me. I need somebody for me, yeah, I won't sing it just because I kind of want you listeners to stick around. Like, I mean, if you're gonna leave, I'd rather you left because I don't like what this nigga's saying, as opposed to if he sings one more fucking time. Okay. All right. So So Heavy D, may he rest in peace. And I found myself reflecting on how much I used to enjoy that song, the chorus, but especially the notion of wanting somebody for me. And only to realize, again, 35 years ago, looking at this through two different eyes, 35 years, I was like, yes, God, come on. When's this bitch going to show up in my life? I was really this one. I was not enlightened. I was not enlightened. I wasn't calling women bitches. I probably was. But the point I'm making is fast forward to today, realizing this whole time I was singing about wanting someone for me, oblivious of the fact that somebody for me should have been me at first. How's the chorus goes? I want somebody for me. Happy is the way I want to be. What is it? Now maybe I'll trip around the world while I found the girl. I know. Okay. Yeah, that's the side where he goes, I want someone to love me for me. Not because I'm MC Heavy D. The point is, I was singing that song with no concept of self-love, of being that you don't want the person you're looking for, you want them to do something you should be doing for yourselves. Jerking off? No, loving yourself. But yeah. And yes, growth. Let's go with growth. It's all about growth. All right, gang, next one.
So you're a philosopher?
Le prochain is, okay, this is the one that I forgot what the, Caption read, breaking the silence of healing boys. I think this is going to be, I'm going to play this as a PSA, just because I love what this brother is the words he's sharing. It's valid. It's not just valid. It's more like in tune with the mission of this podcast, or the mission of this podcast.
We must stop using religion to justify emotional starvation. Mm. We must stop calling cultural abuse tradition. We must stop raising boys to become the monsters their mother fear. Mm. And we must stop clapping for boys who survive hell. That is not a trophy they won. They only acquire trauma. Mm-hmm. We need to start asking them why they had to survive it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And all this starts with honest parenting, with schools that teach empathy, with religious leaders who model softness, not just sermons. It starts with men like me, who will say to boys like my little king, your little brother, you are allowed to cry, you are allowed to ask for help, you are allowed to feel, and you are still a man. My daughter, from the war zones of Gaza to the quiet depression of Ireland, from the mines of Peru to the corners of Lagos, one thing is clear. Boys everywhere are crying, but they cry in different languages. Some cry with fists, some cry with knives, some cry with silence, some cry with suicide, but they are all crying. And the world must now decide, will we listen or will we keep punishing them for the pain we never help them process? As for me and my house, we will listen and we will raise boys with heart, not just hands. And we will never again allow silence to kill our sons. Because strong boys do cry, and now they will cry no more in silence.
Oh my God. Oh Jesus. Oh man.
Message.
Right? I don't have any applause. It deserves a message. Let me read the, they don't mention the name of this. Okay, let me read just the caption. It goes, breaking the silence, healing boys, healing the world, it's time to reshape how we raise boys. Fostering empathy, emotional expression. Discover how to break cycles of trauma and build a supportive future. Let's listen to their cries and help them heal. A call for honest parenting, empathetic schools, compassionate leaders. Compassionate leaders, point. Okay, and I do not have a name of the creator, but of the person who just spoke. But needless to say, links are in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. All I'm going to add to what this this professor, this gentleman, this beautifully articulated, expressed, is I was thinking about the past two episodes. I've made reference or mention about how I may not cry. I don't cry on the surface, but I'm always frequently visited by the urge to cry. And I'm trying to associate, I'm associated to what he was saying is how the urge to cry and how they cry with their fists, they cry with suicide, they cry. And I guess what I'm saying is I'm willing to believe, consider the possibility that all of us men who grew up repressing our tears are all of us have that urge to cry, but it's expressed either through violence, cruelty, or depression, or whatnot. Yeah, I can't go further. No, because I'm trying to make sense of it. All I know is how I process that urge to cry, that repression. All I can say is that motherfucking hurts. It hurts. It's a painful endeavor. But yes, breaking the silence, healing boys. I believe that we make a better world if we teach boys better. Upgrade their listening skills. But yeah, but some motherfuckers benefit off our dysfunctional. But that's another story. All right, next item.
So, you're a philosopher?
Bon, all right. This next section, I'm going to label it as No Rap on Sunday. And before I get to where I got the title from, I'm going to start by the... what. Fuck it. No Rap on Sunday is the name of an album of a rapper I recently discovered, and his name is Kota the Friend. Kota the Friend. And he's from Brooklyn. And yeah, just pure randomness. I just discovered his my music player, my streaming player just showed me. I just clicked out of sheer curiosity, and my curiosity was rewarded. That's this point that I'm trying to make. And I really appreciated the kind of hip. I felt like it was like grown folks hip hop, or like, look, I realized that I got tired. I'm tired of listening to rap music where the rapper is bragging about being rich and I'm broke. I'm not offended about being rich or broke. You know, maybe it's a great club anthem, but it's like, read the fucking room. Some of us are struggling, man. I feel like I'm just a paycheck away from disaster. And this motherfucker's bragging about being rich. And here's two things. One is, times are hard. Two, I'm a big believer in, it took me a while to grow into this, but I'm a big believer in money doesn't make the man. It's the character makes the man, makes the person, makes them whole. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, sorry, I'm trying to imagine if Jeff Bezos were to walk in front of me, would I be like, you ain't shit? Or would I be like, yeah, hey, man, that man can solve all my financial problems. No, okay, focus, B, focus. No, I think it's annoying. It's just you know what? Let me just get directly to the point. Trash hip hop. That's really what it's all about. And I knew I said I was going to make two points, but I forgot what the second point I was going to make about hating rappers who brag about being rich and the rest of us being broke. Fuck y'all. But my really biggest target. I mean, don't get me wrong. The old shit. The old shit. I'll still recite like I'm good. I'm gonna get on this TV, mama. I'm gonna put shit down. But no, that shit is more inspirational. But I am thinking about fucking Drake. Drake's got a new track he came out with titled What am I missing? Something like that there. And I think there was a line in there that triggered me about, yeah, I'm rich and you ain't, and you broke, something like that. I know he was talking about his opponents or whatever. It's, if you ask me, the song is more of a self-pity song, but that's another story. His audience, you know what? It's a different conversation about his song. I'm not going to make a fair assessment of it, like a more profound, deep, but I am going to say there was a part in the song that triggered me. And may say, okay, just for that, I'm going to make a topic. I'm going to big up Kato's album. It is Kato, right? Kota, excuse me, Kato. Kota's album. And I remember I even told my barber about it and sent them a link. And it was just my way of trying to get out the habit of promoting hip hop that I don't give a fuck about, that I stopped caring about. And promoting the hip-hop I actually want to hear. With that said, final point about No Rap on Sunday is I was reflecting on the lyrics. And before I recorded, I looked up the lyrics. And in terms of the meaning, and I like the idea of how, yo, Sunday, No Rap on Sunday, as it was his way of saying, yo, this is a chill. Use Sunday to chill, to not do shit. And it's got me considering... Right now, I'm recording on a Sunday, and it's got me thinking about maybe I should move. Actually, that was the original idea, wasn't it? No, start recording on Saturdays instead of Sundays, because it is annoying on my part. Is I'll start with a chill day. Usually, I'll sleep in, and then I'll be like, oh, fuck, I got to record. And it's not that I hate recording, but it does take away from the vibe of just chilling, using Sunday to be like, to relax, to, you know, chill, max and relax and do all that shit. And also, I'm thinking of The Wire, how using Sunday is, what is it, the Sunday Truths? Yeah. Anyway, I like the idea. I'm considering, not that it makes a difference for you people, but I'm considering taking heed to these words and making and using Sunday just not to do anything. Like, yo, you know, I talked about in the last episode, my favorite part about Sundays is, maybe that's why I record on Sundays, because it reminds me of the stress I used to feel of having to go to church. I wasn't stressed by church, but I was stressed at the fact that I felt like I didn't have a choice. Anyways, no rap on Sunday. If you haven't heard the album, check it out. I'm going to check out this Homeboy's catalog because I'm told he's going to be in Ottawa sometime this year. So, who knows? Maybe I'll check him out. Who am I kidding? I hate you. I hate you. I hate public. All right.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right. Last item that I want to share with you is... okay. First off, let me remember what was the title of my last. I'm going to put a link to the website. And the last episode was titled Feel Me Flow. That's right. I was going with the flow. Right. Okay. So on the last episode, the last point/feature thought that I was trying to make, and I know it took me a while to make sense out of it, but essentially, I was trying to make a point about language and deception. And I'm going to read an excerpt from the book Know My Name by Chanel Miller, which I'm still reading and still enjoying. And in a previous episode, I talked about how that urge, when I read the book, I'm fighting that urge to cry. Yes, I know my therapist is going to be like, so fucking cry, motherfucker. All right. She doesn't talk like that, but I'm just saying. Her rough self is like, well, quit being a bitch and just cry. that might be a bit, whatever. Okay. And let me read this. First, what I'm going to do is make this a little bigger because I have old people's eye. Oh, my God, this is way better. All right. So this is an excerpt, and it summarizes the point I was trying to make about the way the people, the Candace Owens of the world, or lawyers who are defending people who are guilty, or prosecuting people who are innocent, and deception, language and deception. Let's just stick to the theme of language and deception. And she writes. She made the analogy way better than I could. He goes, the way I saw it, and she's talking about dealing with court cases. The way I saw it, my side was going to convince the jury that the big yellow thing in the sky is the sun. His side, the defense lawyer, his side had to convince the jury that it's an egg yolk. Even the most eminent attorney would not be able to change the fact that it's a massive blazing star, not a ludicrous floating egg. But I had yet to understand the system. If you pay enough money, if you say the right things, if you take enough time to weaken and dilute the truth, the sun could slowly begin to look like an egg. Not only was this possible, it happens all the time. Jesus.
Message. Message.
What? That was powerful. Okay, and that's what I'm getting at. It's I'm thinking of all these strategies. It's like, imagine just for those of you thinking, oh, that's silly. How could someone could disprove that the sun is not a big ass egg yolk? And that's the thing is, as soon as let's say I talk about the sun and then I say shit like, well, according to science, oh no, you're gonna use science, eh? Fucking liberal. You know, it's the way they. Have the ability to dismiss facts by chopping. You know, okay. You know what it is. Some of the strategy that these people use is, oh, you're not confident in what you're saying. Oh, like there's a saying about how smart people are usually the least confident people, and dumb people are always full of confidence. And maybe there's another smart person who's like, oh, I'm going to take advantage that that you lack self-esteem, that I can convince you of. I remember this dude, a friend of mine, and he's a dick like that. I think he takes pleasure off. He's that guy who will, he's a centrist type shit. Like, but he'll take pleasure in arguing with you on shit he doesn't give a fuck about. But he enjoys seeing the other person being passionate about it. But he'll take advantage of the fact that you're just so passionate that you'll get emotional, and then he can knock you off your game. And then it's just a game of him making you feel silly. And I hate that. I hate that. Yeah, no, we were talking about who? We were talking about Elon Musk. And I remember just saying shit that I thought it was understood, like, to why I didn't like the dude. And I thought it was, we were just going to leave it at that. But this, the way he was coming at me, it's like everything I said, he made it look like it wasn't valid. It didn't make sense. Try again. And I'm like, you know, and I nearly fell for the trap, realizing that, oh, you're playing that game again. So I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not gonna try to change your mind. He goes, no. Give it a try. That's what I saw. That, oh, I see. You're messing with me. Okay, I got it. Personally, I hate that. I hate people who do that. But that's a different story. But yeah, man. No, it's this dirty game of deception. Now, in the show notes, there's a link to a clip on TikTok. And this homegirl, she goes into explaining, she makes a link between, like, her own take on deception and language and deception, how they, and she actually links it with something the late comedian George Carlin said, and I thought it was a good association, but it's along the same idea of language, words, and deception. So check it out. With that said, this concludes Quotes and Randomness. Now let's jump to the featured thought. Oh, but before we do that, we're going to take a quick break.
The minute you start wanting me to compare some shit with some white people is the minute you lost me. Like when y'all be like, white women, white men, the white Americans, the white this, or if I'm talking about a particular topic and y'all bring up a white man or a white woman who did it when I'm talking about a black person at the time, I don't pay attention to what white people do. I want y'all to know that I'm black as fuck. I watch black shows. I deal with black things. Okay. Do I watch rich white girl reality shows sometimes? Possibly. Yeah. But do I really give a fuck about what they doing in real life? No, I don't even follow them. If y'all stop giving a fuck about what white people do and stay home, we could get done with a lot of this shit faster. But y'all be so concerned about what white people do. Fuck what they doing.
So you're a philosopher?
I had to play that clip to help me decide what I want to say. I'm trying this new thing of taking time to think about what I want to say and then going for it. the goal is to make this into a TikTok clip. Like, every one of these segments is just a separate TikTok clip. All right, first, let me start with, excuse me. I'm tempted to call this episode This Wicked System. And the reason for that is I'm thinking about this song by Sister Soulja. Let me remember the title. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to recite something that she said. Okay. And then I'm going to share this verse and then share the Threads comment that got me, that inspired this whole thinking. Here's the verse. It goes, the time for scared, lip trembling, word changing, self-denying, compromising, knees shaking black people is over. If you have something to say, speak up with authority and conviction. If not, sit down and shut up. We have to have the power to tell the truth, to say whatever is necessary, to do what needs to be done, whatever it is, no matter who it may hurt. And tell them who I am, soldier, soldier, So, and then this is the next verse. It goes, let me make sure that, is this the, make sure I got the right verse. You know, fuck it. I have an excuse to recite this verse. It goes, Soulja was not born to make white people feel comfortable. I am African first. I am black first. I want what's good for me and my people first. And if my survival means your total destruction, then so be it. You built this wicked system. That's where I want to get the title from. They say two wrongs don't make a right, but it damn sure makes it even. Yeah, goddamn. You can speak at all of that, but anyway, all right. So where is all this coming from? It's also a reminder to why I start this podcast every episode with fuck Whitey. And the reason I got there is someone on Threads. Their name is African Bohemian. African Bohemian. And I like her. She just wrote, I repeat, black kids and people of color raised in white spaces are often victimized by the blind spots of well-meaning white liberals. We've all got stories. And that post had me thinking about my own story. And what I wrote, I said, growing up in white spaces taught me that ending racism was my responsibility. And needed to do it quietly without making white people uncomfortable. In the workplace, that translated into another unspoken expectation to be the magical Negro. So this podcast, for those who don't know, it's about my journey into deconstructing. Actually, there's another term that my therapist used recently, and I'm going to try to share it with you. It goes, coming home to yourself for the first time. Deconstructing. Getting to the core of who I am or and who I want to be and all that. And on this journey to deconstructing, sure, there's sexism, there's homophobia, I'm deleting Christianity, but the biggest one, the biggest area of deconstruction that's required was created by growing up in white spaces. And you know what? And just even this conversation is making me nervous, so I know that I'm doing the right thing. When I start the episode with Fuck Whitey, it's my reminder, it's my permission to stop thinking, stop speaking and worrying about how white people are going to react to what you're saying. I think part of the curses are one thing that I develop, and I know some black people manage to navigate for white spaces and not be, what's the word? Not have this condition where you find yourself overly concerned with the comfort of white people, of a white person. Again, you go through their schools and you grow up believing or feeling like you're meant to be an other. I went through their schools. Not just their schools, but their institutions. Like, you were meant to be a magical Negro for white people. I'm thinking about my career. I've always been in situations where I've had to tolerate some dysfunctional white person. Bottom of the barrel, and that was my skill set. At the time, I was telling myself that I was doing the Lord's work. I was loving a person who... God was using me as his vessel to show his love. And I just realized that I was like killing myself. But the part where it's really, I can sense it, is I've been watching Ironheart, the Marvel movie. And I know it's, that movie was really made for comic book folks. But it's been a challenge to watch. TV series. It's been a challenge to watch this series and trusting Ryan Coogler. I'm not saying he's not trustworthy, but I'm saying it's been difficult for me to watch the movie the way it was intended to be because I have a part of my brain constantly watching it through the gaze of white people. Like it's like I've gotten into this habit of bracing myself for what are white people going to say. And it's not the approval that I'm working through. It's not, oh, I'm worried they're not gonna like it. No, I know they don't like it. But it's more the hateful shit I expect them to say and I tell myself, there's a part of my brain that automatically imagines some of the hateful shit a white person might say to XYZ, to whatever the fuck, to my accent, to the way I walk, to whatever the fuck, or could be a crime, could be happening when black people, we hear about a crime, or first we cross our fingers like, oh, please don't let it be a black person, please let it be a black person, because the first thing we think about is the white gaze. It's like, great. Now they're going to associate me with this person. For Ironheart, I had to remind myself, somewhere there's a little black girl watching this the same way I watched, I don't know, Spider-Man. Oh, or the same way I watched, who's my favorite, On a Different World. I used to love Dwayne Tendo, Dwayne. What was that? The character Dwayne. I love the fact that he was a regular ass black dude who was into computers. That was my. Like, I have to remind myself this is a Marvel movie. It's meant for someone way younger than me. And someone who's going to look at that with impressionable eyes and say, wait a minute, I can do that? And here's the thing, I'm saying, like, look, if you don't like it, then shut the fuck up. Stop watching it. I think there's some people out there who are like watching it just to hate it. Just to be, oh, Marvel, you fucked up. Anyway, so yes, I'm trying to say that it's been the white gaze. White gaze sometimes has made it difficult for me to appreciate myself as a black person. Oh, someone added, you're one of the good ones. Yeah, you know what? No, what I like about that post is, initially when I saw this, I was thinking of making this whole segment on what are my stories about growing up in white spaces. And right now it just turned out into being like giving you a specific example where growing up in white spaces and how it's affected me today. How it's affected me now and what I'm unlearning. I made a note. I said, deconstructing, breaking away from white people. All right. Okay, with that said, I think I'm going to wrap this up and end it here and saying, like, this is for today's feature thought. There are 4 links for you to check out for your own. And these are all things that I was thinking about when I was thinking about this segment. And you already shared that one, the link to the Threads link. And it goes, being around white people. But I really appreciated what that one sister said. You know, let me get her name. Oh, not having white friends. The one about not having white friends. Yeah, last point I forgot to make is I remember growing up in white spaces is how a group of us black kids would get together. And I remember we were just talking like regular black people. And the first thing we do, we were trying to say, yeah, I was talking to this. Yo, and then that white guy. But before we'd say white guy, we would look around and make sure there's no white people around. And it sounds so much like we give a fuck about what they would think about us. I think I've given up on, I'm still working on it, but I know the day I needed to stop working on the white gaze is accepting the fact that a white person is going to call you the N-word regardless. Doesn't matter if you're Obama, doesn't matter if you like an astronaut, whatever, but they will always find a way to use this system in their advantage and remind you that, hey, the natural pecking order. I'm up here, you're down here. Which is why you gotta love your own self. Which is why you gotta love your own self. All right, okay. All right, that's good. All right, we're gonna end with that. I feel this is, again, I don't usually bring solutions on this podcast. I'm just thinking out loud. That's all I do. I say shit that I wouldn't say regularly. I say it in front of this mic. And again, my intention is to say shit that resonates and to someone and hear back from them. So on that note, this concludes today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it, sharing it with you. Reminder that shutuppodcast.com is the website, and shutuppodcast401 at gmail.com is the email address. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who excuse me. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rue's question.
Are you an outcast?
Speaking on that note, because I was talking about represent for black folks TV Ontario and Télé Québec. That's in my part of the world. Yeah, I heard there was an Afrofest in Toronto, and there was a bum rush at the end. You guys don't use the word bum rush anymore, do you? Anyway, I think there was a shooting at the end, and from what I understand, it started all cool, and then the youngsters started showing up, and then fucked it up. I mean, it was cool till a fool pulling low with a gun. And yeah, that's a shame. It's a goddamn shame. I want to hope that whoever did this grows up to regret their action and makes the past right, as opposed to just rotting in prison. But whatever, man. It's a damn shame. I've never been to the Afrofest. Oh my God, I'm in the middle of finishing this episode. But yeah, that's different thought. Okay, what was I saying? Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.